My name is Ann Rolfes, and I direct a group called the Louisiana Bucket Brigade. And when it's not an oil spill, I work with people who live next to oil refineries and chemical plants, and generally communities impacted by the oil industry.
Well, tell me about this new project that you have, and I'm looking at it on your website here. It's basically a map, and what can people do with this map?
This map is the representation of this idea called crowdsourcing. So imagine, you know, if you're in a crowd and somebody starts giving away free beer, how the whole crowd rushes to the beer, and you understand where the beer is because you can see the crowd rushing there. That's what we're trying to replicate on this map, except that what we're trying to identify is places where there are problems from the oil spill. And those problems are everything from actual physical presence of oil on shore or on wildlife to potential loss of livelihood that people are experiencing or health problems from exposure.
How many responses are you getting so far?
We have about 250 responses. We launched it 8 days ago. And amid all the fury, of course, of this BP oil spill, and we're really just now starting to think about outreach to local people. And so we're really encouraged that with very little outreach and only word of mouth, we've gotten a pretty good number of reports. And we think that will only grow as we can really put some muscle behind our outreach machine.
Yeah, I'm just reading through some of the recent incident reports on the map here. Tar balls in South Pass, one of the Barrier Island shores there. Reports of strong odor, oil smell in Venice, strong chemical odor in the wind in Waveland. Dead turtle on the beach in Mississippi.
Yeah.
You're really running the gamut of reports here. What becomes of this information then?
Well, there are a few reasons that we're doing this map. One is simply to give local people a voice. I think after Katrina, we all experienced this sense of isolation of having these personal anecdotes that were terrible and powerful, and yet didn't really have any powerful because they were limited to just the individual. And so this is a way to give people a voice as individuals, but also collectively, so that we can see the magnitude of the problem. And that's a very, very important part of this map. The other goal that we've got with this map is to drive the response so that, for example, if BP says that there was really no health effect or that, you know, there wasn't really much odor along the coast, we can point to the map and say, oh, in fact, there were a lot of reports of odors, and you're going to be held accountable for that.
This is kind of an extension of what the Bucket Brigade is all about. You were set up, I guess, to empower citizens to do their own environmental observations and samplings, and that's the reason for the name Bucket Brigade, these
right.
Bucket-like monitoring devices, right?
Right. We actually were ready to use this map with people who live next to oil refineries. So before the spill ever happened, we were thinking about rolling it out in a few months so that people who live next to oil refineries and chemical plants in Louisiana could report their experiences because, you know, unfortunately, they're absolutely ignored by our State Department of Environmental Quality. So we were planning on using this as an accountability tool and a documentation tool for refinery neighbors. And then when the spill happened, we realized that it was really the ethical thing to do to launch it ASAP because it would be such a great and powerful tool in this instance.
And have you had any indication from officialdom that they
Yes.
are finding this information useful?
Well, Lisa Jackson, the head of the EPA, put it on her Facebook page yesterday that she had just been talking with people at Tulane, and there are partners in this, Tulane University, that she had just been there and had learned about this great tool called Ushahidi. So we're pretty delighted that we've gotten the attention of the head of the Environmental Protection Agency.
And I guess this is a kind of a new frontier of using online social media to help guide a response to an environmental crisis.
We're really proud about our use of this tool. It was developed in Kenya after some post-election violence. It was then used in Haiti, and now we are bringing it to the United States for its first humanitarian use ever. It's been used a bit around the country, you know, as a response to bad weather or crime, but this is the first full-scale use in a humanitarian situation. And, you know, this is absolutely cutting edge, and we believe it will be the future of disaster response in this country. You know, we want the Gulf Coast voice to get out there, and we want people to be able to file their reports about what's happening on the ground when BP argues, you know, just as Exxon Mobil has done, that, oh, in fact, it wasn't really bad, we will always have this map and all of these reports to remind them of reality.
About the only downside I can think of is as this thing spreads and the oil hits more of the coast, your map here is going to disappear under a series of these red dots that represent
right.
people reporting incidents. It's going
yeah.
to be a dang depressing map after
yeah.
a while.
Yeah, well, this is not a happy situation. and at least, you know, at least we can do something. That's the only saving grace. When you stop and you think about this, it actually is almost paralyzing. No matter how many dots we ultimately get on the map, the beauty of it is that you will always be able to go and click one specific point and read one person's story. And I believe that there is some solace in that.
Ann Rolfes with the Louisiana Bucket Brigade. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Jeff.